Amen? I don't know if you've ever had days or even seasons when you think you just have nothing. Nothing to offer, nothing to motivate you, nothing to get you up in the morning. Maybe nothing financially. And maybe there are some who literally think they have nothing to sustain them. So just how do we turn that around? Is there something we can do to change that? Or at least begin to change our situation. So we talked last week about Elijah. We gave some foundation, some background. We went to the end of the famine. But in this portion, they're right in the middle of the famine. Elijah's been at the brook Cherith. And he's been instructed by God now to leave because the brook has dried up. And you remember that Elijah went and he prophesied the drought. And at the word of the Lord, he ended up at that brook. And verse 4 says in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So remember, we talked about supernatural provision. And so the brook has dried up, probably naturally. But the supernatural ravens apparently have also stopped coming. I don't know about you, but I'm 90% sure that all of us have had natural provision and supernatural provision. And it's all been by the hand and by the grace of God. I've known when Pastor Ace and I have had to work really, really hard to be able to provide for our family. And I've known when supernatural stuff happens. I've known times when I've looked in the cupboard when we first started out going into ministry. I've looked in the cupboard and there was, I'll put in quotes, nothing, because there probably was something in the cupboard. But to my way of thinking, not like this lady, but there was nothing. And we had talked about it. We prayed about going into full-time ministry. And sometimes when you go into full-time ministry, it's, I used to say feast or famine. And even then you had to define famine or feast, because sometimes there just wasn't all that much. And oftentimes when we went to travel somewhere, we paid to get there. There wasn't enough in the offering to sustain us. But God is our provider. Oh, you saw me going for the cue card, didn't you? So, see, I have some amen cue cards here that just help us along a little bit. And when we, one day it seemed to us like, it seemed to me like there was nothing. And I can remember hearing the front door open. And then when I went downstairs to look and see, there were these three or four bags of groceries, good groceries, like rich people food, you know, not Hershey's chocolate, but the other kind of chocolate, you know, the rich people chocolate. And I still to this day, I have an idea who put it there, but I'm not positive. What I know is that God supernaturally provided for us, because we never told friends or people, you know, that what we had or didn't have. And so naturally, because we worked really hard, we saved our pennies, literally. Pastor Ace actually had a second job. He was a truck driver at the time and had a second job of washing out trailers. And so he would go at the end of his shift and he would hose down these, you know, however many feet, trailers, and hose them all down. And that, and so he'd get some extra money from that. And do you realize that I used to walk to the bank. I did home daycare at the time. I used to walk to the bank, and even if I did, even if we only, I really mean this, I'm not exaggerating, even if I only had 50 cents, I would make a deposit into what we called our mortgage account. And within 4 years, we had totally paid off our $24,000 mortgage. That was natural provision. We worked for it. We worked hard for it. But it was still the supply of God. And supernaturally, when we bought the house, it was the first house that we ever bought over on Fairholt Road. And we put an offer in, and I think the offer was $34,000 at that time. Can you stand it? You can barely buy a car now for $34,000. And anyway, we put the offer in, and on the way, when the broker got to Toronto, where the company was, wasn't a person that owned it. It was a company that owned this home. And so when he got there, he looked at his offer, and he realized he made a $10,000 mistake. And instead of $34,000, he put $24,000. And he said, well, I'm not going to drive all the way back to Hamilton. This was before internet, faxes, all. We're going way back, people. And so he said, I'm just going to present it anyway. And they looked at the offer, didn't even say a thing, just signed the offer. And we got a house for $24,000 that was listed for $34,000. That was supernatural provision of God. Amen? Tickets being reduced half price. We've got to start realizing these things are the supernatural hand of God in our lives. And so often we just think, well, it's just the natural course. But God is even involved in the natural course of things in our lives. Amen? And so there have been many, many times when we have seen the supernatural provision of the Lord and the natural provision of the Lord every day of our lives. Both are from the Lord, and we acknowledge him in it. We acknowledge his grace and his mercy. So Elijah has seen, and for a period of time, he's been the recipient of provision, both naturally and supernaturally, because when a raven brings you bread and meat, it's supernatural provision, right? Because it's not a normal thing that happens. And so I wonder if Elijah felt sometimes like I feel, like, God, I just get all the answers and you change the questions. And here was Elijah, comfortable by this brook. Everybody else was in this famine. But for a number of months, the brook kept bringing water. The ravens kept bringing food. But eventually, all of that dried up. And God said, at the command of the Lord, he said, basically, I've got some more lessons I want for you to learn. You've learned about these natural and the supernatural provision. Now I'm going to move you on. And he commanded the Lord to go. And chapter 17, verse 8 talks about, embrace change so well. All of us like change when it's our idea. But if something changes and it's not my idea, then I might have a problem with it. And so, but Elijah had learned to move at the direction and the presence of the Lord. And sometimes because we have fear of the unknown, so we don't like to move, we don't like to shift, we don't like to change. Sometimes it is lack of faith that we don't like to move and change with the direction of the Lord. And sometimes we just say, if I could just be sure, if it was just an audible voice, if I just had five or six confirmations, then I could be sure. And the last one is not wrong, to get a confirmation when God is beginning to shift and to move us. But apparently Elijah was sure of the voice of the Lord. He was a prophet. He'd been practicing hearing the voice of the Lord and obeying. And he had learned to trust the voice of the Lord. And you and I don't need to be prophets to do that. We can hear the voice of the Lord, and we can learn to trust the voice of the Lord. So, 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, here's the same words again. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called after her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." I'm in 1 Kings 17 now, verse 15. So she went away and she did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. Then the bin of the flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. And so Elijah, at the command of the Lord, he hears his voice and he goes once again. He gets there and he finds a widow, not a rich widow. If God had said to me, "I've got a widow that's going to provide for you," I wouldn't look for someone who was gathering sticks and who said, "I've only got a little bit, prepared to die." I would think, well, then you're not the right one. There must be another someone here who's got some money, got some cash. And we know the rest of the story, but Elijah knew the rest of the story as well. And it says, what about you and I being told to go somewhere, to do something that God tells us to do? Are we going to do that, or are we going to halt and say, no, this can't be the provision of the Lord. This is small. This looks like it's about to die. This can't be the provision of the Lord. But so we have to begin, like I talked last week, we have to start seeing things differently. And Elijah has got to take his eyes off what he sees in the natural and begin to see in the spirit realm. If he wants supernatural provision, he's got to see the way that God sees. And what God says is what he sees. He saw a widow providing for her, for him. That's what he said, so he sees that. And that's, you might say, well, how do I know what to see? It's right here. Whatever God says, we need to begin to see the way that God sees and see what he says. Because obviously, God sees this situation differently. And he spoke to Elijah and he said, there's a widow that's going to, I've commanded a widow to provide for you. So if we're going to live and walk in the supernatural realm, we are going to have to see differently. We're going to have to see what God sees and see what he says. And so God has him in this place where Elijah himself, this mighty prophet who just prophesied a drought for 3 years, there's something more that God wants him to learn. There are a couple of words and names in this chapter that I won't go into them all, but the word Zarephath means a place of refinement. Cherith meant a place of cutting, and Zarephath means a place of refinement. And refinement is the process of removing impurities or unwanted elements from a substance, or the improvement or clarification of something by making small changes. That's what refinement means. We have the refiner's fire that sometimes we used to sing about, and how they would heat that gold and they would scrape off the impurities. They would refine it. And so God has Elijah and you and I in places of refinement where there is thinking and attitudes and lack, and we sang "Raise a Hallelujah" over my unbelief. There's unbelief in us, in our lives, in our thinking, in the way that we think about God, that God is bringing us to that place of refinement to say, no, I'm going to set some fire to this, and I'm going to scrape off some of those impurities. And so Elijah, the places that he's sent to have great, great meaning. And here he is in a place that God is working at some changes that need to happen in Elijah's life. And so he's in this place, and there's this widow who's going to provide for them. But she's more needy than he is. I don't know about you, but we don't look to needy people to meet our needs, right? If you want to borrow some money, you most likely won't come to me because I don't have the money to loan you, right? But we will go to someone who we know is wealthy, someone who has some money and a generous spirit, or we go to a bank that we know has money. So we don't go to needy. So here's Elijah face to face with this needy woman who God has said to him. And now he's got to change his thinking. There has to be this, well, I call it this tilt that goes on in his head. You got to tilt the machine a little bit to make the ball go in the right place. Do they still have those machines instead of these? So he's got to see in the supernatural realm if he wants supernatural provision. And he calls out to her, sees this woman gathering these sticks. And remember, she's at the gate, which again is an important place. Nobody else around. The gate in the cities are busy places. And so she's in this busy place where nobody else is even taking notice of her or providing for her. And along comes this man and says to her, would you go and fetch me just a little bit of water? And instead of her saying, you know what, buddy? Like, I'm here. Can you see me gathering sticks? There's all these other people around. Could you just ask somebody else for water? Like, why are you asking me for water? You don't know my situation. You can see that I'm so weak I can hardly stand up. There's been a famine for 3 years now, and you're asking me for water? But she's not like me. She doesn't say those things. She just turns and goes to get him a little bit of water. And what does Elijah see? Faith. She's going to get me some water. I see a generous heart. I see some faith in that woman's life. And so then he calls after her and he says, could you bring me a little morsel of food as well? Now, I don't know about you, but I need to stop there and say, you know, I've got some regrets that have happened in my life, because like I just shared with you, a lot of times that is my attitude. I'm an A to B person, and I'm going from point A to point B, and it's not like don't get in my way, but you know what? I'm on this mission here, and hi, how you doing? And I'm terrible. I just have this great loss. Oh, sorry to hear that. And then we keep walking. We keep going. And regrettably, sometimes I'm like that. Don't look at me like that. I know you, and sometimes you're like that too. Right? We've just got our own agenda. This thing is all mapped out for me, and now a needy person comes along, and sometimes I'm like that. But this woman was not like that. And she's prepared to go and get at least some water for this prophet who comes. Whether at this point she knows he's a prophet or not, it doesn't say. Sometimes we forget about meeting the needs of others when the Bible says, give and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Doesn't say anything about if you've got it to give, then give. He just says give, and then you'll get it back. Somehow she knew that principle. Or what I like to say is, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. And then he asks her for more. Bring me a morsel of bread in her hand. And she tells him she recognizes him at this point as a godly man and says, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. I've only got a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar, and I'm gathering these sticks, and I'm going to go and prepare it for myself and my son that we might die. And so we have seen that she has faith because she's going to get him a drink of water because, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But she hasn't yet shifted her mindset. She doesn't say, I'm going to make this last cake and it's going to be something that's going to sustain us and bring us life. She doesn't say that. She says, it's the last thing I've got and I'm just going to make it and we're going to die. And so we're going to see as she shifts her vision to be what the prophet's vision is. And so that's her confession. She sees in the natural realm, and it's all that her eyes could see. She doesn't yet see supernatural provision coming. And so what must Elijah have thought? Again, like we sang, push the doubt away. Really, God? You got this woman that's going to die? And now here I am. Now, you've read some of the headlines years ago, haven't you? TV evangelist takes all this widow's money. We have seen those headlines. So I wonder what the headlines of Zarephath's newspaper would have been that day as they heard Elijah. Look at him asking that woman for not just a drink of water, but now asking him for the very last thing that she has. How does the world think? And we've got to shift our thinking from how the world thinks, and we've got to shift our thinking to how God says. And so Elijah maybe thought, God, I thought this woman was going to be my provider. And God said, no, I'm going to be your provider. I might use somebody else, but I'm going to be your provider. And I believe Elijah just saw a glimmer of faith in that woman as she goes to get the water. And he's about to draw on her faith. He knows, listen, God blesses the giver. Say that out loud. God blesses the giver. That's a biblical principle that you and I cannot get away from. If you don't know whether to give something to someone and you're wondering, should I give, shouldn't I give, go with your gut, give. Because God blesses the giver. You cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I'm not setting you up for tithes and offerings either. Well, maybe I am. But it's the truth, isn't it? God blesses the giver. Biblical principle right here in 1 Kings. Giving is an act of faith. Especially when you're in a place like this woman is. If she's going to do what this ridiculous thing that the prophet has asked, she's going to have some faith behind it. Do you realize that your faith is activated every time you give? And when our faith is activated, we are giving God something to work with. God sees our faith, and God sees her faith. And so does Elijah. She doesn't even know she's got faith at this point. But somebody from the outside sees it and pulls that faith to the next level if she will obey. You might think that you don't have any faith to take you from where you are to where you think you should be and where God wants you to be. Maybe you think you've got nothing. I got nothing. But God sees differently. I want to tell you that what we believe in this church, that no matter what your fixed income is, you need to give to God. You need to sow into the kingdom of God. Not to make the church rich or any other place that you give to from the Lord, but God blesses the giver. And the one song we sang was about the blessing of the Lord, the goodness of God. Deuteronomy says, chases us down the street, just running after us. Oh my God, she just gave something. Let's go give this back to her. The blessing of the Lord, the goodness of God. God blesses the giver. And so he asks to the naked eye something that is incredibly bold and ridiculous. He asked this woman who's gathering sticks, who I think you can see that she's got nothing. He asks not just for water now, he asks for bread. And he says, don't fear, go and do as you have said. But first, incredible, important word, underline it, highlight it in your Bibles. First, make me a small cake. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Because Proverbs 28:1 says, "The righteous are bold as a lion." When I used to go to, I still do, but I don't do this part anymore, go to WOW, the ministry in Brampton, women's ministry, Pastor Sue, for probably 10 years, got me to take up the offering because I know how important the offering is. And she knew that I was bold in that. And people need to be encouraged to give. We need to stop making apologies. "I'm sorry. I know you don't have any money. I know you're on fixed income. But here's our tithes and offerings. Could you make sure that you put something into the tithe and offering?" We've got to stop whining about that. Like, we got to stop whining about it because it's a principle of the Word of God. It's a principle in the Word that when you give, you will be blessed. It's just what God says. It's just how it happens. It's just like the sun rises every morning. There are mornings you can't see it, but it's still there. Giving is exactly the same way. And so he asks this incredible thing because he's bold as a lion. And something else we need to do is we need to respond to the Word of God. And so he gives her something else to see, because if you're talking to me and you're saying you and your son are going to live, I'm going to see that, right? Something in me is going to latch on to that. And so he gives her something to see, but he also gives her something to do, something to respond to. Because God always calls for a response to his word. Always. There always has to be a response of faith, because faith is the currency of heaven. God does not see our need and meet our need because we're needy. If he had of, he would have given this woman something way before Elijah got there. He would have been sustaining her regularly, thinking, okay, in 6 months or however long it takes for that brook to dry up, I'm going to send the prophet. He's going to need her to provide for her. But there are two people that need some supernatural provision. And the only way we're going to get it is by faith. And so Elijah is drawing faith out of this woman. Not happy just to say, okay, well, just, you know. But he says, "You make me a little cake first." Guys, what you do first, you live or die. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay our bills. We need to be responsible and we need to pay our bills. But tithes and offerings are not second fruits. They're first fruits. And you will eat from what you give first. You will eat. You will live or die by what you do first. So he doesn't say to this woman, "You go, make yourself a little cake, split it in half." Oh my gosh. Just split it in half. Give me half, and then you and your son have half. No, because that's not faith. If on Saturday night I say to God, "God, I'm looking at my bills. My bills are too big. There's more bills than money. I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait till next week. Or you're going to have to, I'm just going to." You know what tithe means? Tenth. That's why the song that says I'll tithe 11%. My gosh, where's my laugh card? I've got to have one in here. Right? And so it means that we give a tenth. I'm trying to get you blessed this morning. I could care less about your money. God is our sustainer, et cetera, et cetera. But I care about you, and I want us blessed beyond measure. And so God calls in the New Testament what we give to him first fruits. If you're a farmer, you don't gather all your fruit up, take it to market, and just say, "Well, God, whatever's left over, whatever people don't buy, that's what I'll give to you." Because that's not first fruits. First fruit says, "I'm going to take the very best of what I've got. I'm going to glean from that, and I've got three things here, so I'm going to give you 10% of what I've got. Just 10%, that's all. Out of a whole dollar, God wants a dime. You get to keep 90%. Why? Because God is a great big God. He doesn't need your 90%. He just needs you. He just needs your faith to give your 10%. All right. So before there can ever be a miracle in any shape or form, you read about the miracles in Scripture, every miraculous, supernatural thing that happens, you have to respond in faith first. When the waters opened and the children of Israel went through, they were up to their ankles. They got their feet wet. Go into the water and then it'll part. They didn't stand on the dry shore and say, waters part, here's my rod. They went in, you can read it. The woman who touched the hem of his garment, first had to touch the hem of his garment. She had faith way back in the crowd. But there needed to be a response in you and I if we want faith. Place of refinement, drawing her impurity and the impurity in the life of a believer. What is the impurity in the lives of us as believers? Well, there are probably a lot of things that you and I, but I think the greatest impurity is doubt. And I think sometimes that if we're honest with ourselves, we will doubt. I think that's why the person came to God and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Because he realized, I've only got this much belief, God, that you can heal my dead son. I've only got this much belief, so help my unbelief. And if we want to see the supernatural happen in our lives, then we're going to have to begin to see the way that God sees. And we're going to have to understand that I've still got some doubt inside of me. But God, help that unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. I think the title over this should not be Elijah and the widow. I think it should be the song we sing, Raise a Hallelujah. Because although there's no evidence of her singing in the midst of this, she raised a hallelujah. Amen? And so he prophesies to her and he says, here's what the Lord says. Listen, you hear the voice and the word of the Lord every Sunday morning. You hear it in the songs we sing. You hear it in the messages preached. Our children hear the word of the Lord. So don't think that you need to have some prophet come or someone with a mantle of the prophetic to come and speak into your life. What you're hearing right now is the word of the Lord. Amen. Right? Which one do you want? Oh, it's not here. I need a laugh one. But we hear the word of the Lord. You hear it in your devotions. You hear it in the songs you sing. You hear the word of the Lord. And sometimes we think, well, if a prophet would come and just give me the word of the Lord. Well, here's the word of the Lord. But sometimes we downplay. We dumb it down, as someone would say, the word of the Lord. Because we don't like the way it's presented. We don't like the vessel it comes from. Some people don't listen to me because I'm a woman and they don't believe in women pastors. I say, get over your little self and hear the word of the Lord. That should have had a laugh one right there. That'd be a good laugh. And so will we take God at his word? She is at a crossroads right here. Is she going to take God at his word? God has just invaded her ordinary, everyday, on the brink of death life with his presence and with his word. And this morning, God has just invaded your everyday life with the word. Every time you open the scriptures, God invades your life with his word. What will we do with it? Will we take God at his word? Because if we take God at his word, there will be more poured out than we can hold in our hands. You don't believe it? That's what Malachi says. That's what the word says. See? Doubt. Well, I know if I give to God, he'll bless me and sustain me, but give me more than my hands can hold. Well, that's what his word says. So are we going to see that? Or are we just going to,
Oh, I'm okay with just a handful. Why? When God says he's going to pour out a blessing that you can't contain, according to Malachi 3:10. God makes provision for what he promises. And this prophet made a thus saith the Lord promise to this woman that if you give to me first, the oil won't dry up and you'll always have meal until the rain of the Lord comes. Then the natural provision comes. You don't need the supernatural anymore because the natural, still from God, but natural provision. So here's the kicker in it, verse 15. So she went away and she did according to the word of Elijah. Here's what I think. I think that if the pastors that I know that stand in their pulpit and talk about tithes and offering, I think that if people responded according to the word of God, I think there would be no lack in our churches. And I think there would be no lack for missionaries. There would be no need to send them our used tea bags, which actually does happen. There'd be no need for that because the church would have so much. If we really believe that what I'm hearing from the pulpit is the word of God. Because God says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and I will pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. What will we do first? No money? Financially, God says that he blesses our tithes and offerings. Tired, exhausted from working? God says if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. Are you afraid of the future? And place your trust in him and his word. The Bible says he will direct your path. God has an answer for what you do first. So the widow woman made a choice to take God at his word. And that day, death was conquered. Right? We read it fast. We see it fast. But what she was planning on dying, her and her son, she lived. Now, get this. Death was conquered. Hope replaced hopelessness. How did that happen? By what she did first. By obeying the word of the Lord. Satisfaction replaced hunger. Fear was replaced by faith. There was like this chain reaction that happened in her life, right? Because she stepped out on the word of the Lord. Now, listen to this. And she and her household ate for many days. She and her household, not just her little boy, but what she had and what she submitted to the word of the Lord was able to sustain not only two people, but a whole household of people. And the supernatural miracle goes on. The bin of flour wasn't used up. And the jar of oil never ran dry. Man. Every time you open that bread drawer, there's a loaf of bread. I don't know where it came from. Every time I go to the fridge for whatever pop or drink, there it was. Every time I go to my cupboard and begin to use something, it's there again and again. Just bam, appears on the shelf. Right? She goes to pour out the oil, maybe the first time thinking, But then as it starts to pour and pour and pour, she goes and gets a handful and there's more. She doesn't have to dig way to the bottom. Now I can take it right from the top because the oil and the flour never stopped coming for about 3 years. Now, I didn't do all the math, but probably about 1,000 meals she had. That is some gift card that goes on and on and on that she receives. Giving is for our benefit. Not just in our tithes and offerings, but in our caring for one another, in our love for one another, in what we do daily. We might not feel like getting that, quote, drink of water. But if we do it, if what I make happen for others, God will make happen for me. Amen? That's the truth. God knows where you are. He knew where Elijah was, and he knew where the woman was. You might be in a place of refinement where God is making changes in your life. Embrace it. Just embrace it. Don't kick against it. Don't grumble against it. Raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies. Raise a hallelujah. Sing like you've never sung before over the face of the enemy. Embrace it. You've got faith. Even if you think you don't have any, even if you say, I got nothing, all you need is a little glimmer of faith and then step out. Use what you've got in some way or another. Give what you have and depend on his word for your supernatural provision every day. See what God sees. See beyond the natural. See beyond my ability to do this. I have no ability in and of myself to do what I do. I have no ability. I have no training whatsoever. I did not complete high school. I did not know how to study. I have no ability on my own. And so when God called us, I was really happy because I felt Pastor Ace had all that ability. And I will back you till your nose bleeds. And then I'm out of here. No, I'm just kidding. But I figured he had all the ability. He had all the credentials, if you want. I didn't think I had anything. And so when God spoke to my heart personally, which was one day at an intensive retreat, God spoke to me. I remember the place. I see where I was standing, what I was wearing. And God said, I have not only called Ace, I've called you. And I didn't know whether to say hallelujah or run screaming. Because I said, God, I can't do it. And he said, I know. That's why I chose you. I don't have any ability. I know. I've given you grace, my ability. So let's not depend on our ability, whether it's in the finances, whether it's in faith, whether it's in things that we're supposed to do, the strength that we have or don't have. Let's depend on the ability of God. Because what we can't do, then God brings along other people that can do it. He brings people alongside that'll hold our hands up, right? He really, really does. See what God sees according to his word. See beyond your ability. Take what he's given you and bless others with it. Do you have a nice home? Then bless others with it. Do you have a car? Bless somebody with it. Do you have money? Bless somebody with it. What's God placed in your hand that you can bless somebody with? Because what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Live according to the word of the Lord, because God responds to his promises. He's faithful. His word is settled forever in heaven, the Bible says. Settled, it's just settled, just done. So when he said, I've commanded a brook, I've commanded a raven to feed you, Elijah saw that happening. Small thing. And when he sees this widow that he sees has absolutely nothing, but hears the voice of the Lord saying, I've commanded a widow to sustain you. Now he's got faith for the next level to say, well, if God can make a raven do it, he can make a widow do it. So every place, every stone that we step on, every place that happens in our lives, faith has been growing in that place. And when God takes us to the next situation that happens, we've got the faith for it. You've got the faith to raise your son from that bed. Brian, look at me and say amen. You have the faith. You've got the faith for that because of what you've been through all along. You've got the faith for it. You've got the faith to release your mom back into Guyana. You've got the faith for it because you've stepped all along the way. You've got the faith for it. And we have the faith for the next place that God is taking us. I don't claim to know where that is as a church, but I know we've got the faith for it. I know we've got the faith for it. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, "And these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God." These blessings will come upon you and overtake you. The only key is that we listen and obey the voice of the Lord. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not difficult. When you know who your dad is, when you know who your heavenly father is, it's not difficult to obey God. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, I believe, I'm going to ask Kim to lead that song, Raise a Hallelujah. And I know that Rebecca's not here with hers, but that's okay. Yeah. Or let it play, whatever. Because there's some words in there. There's some strong encouragement in there. This woman had a song. She raised a song of hallelujah over her enemies. The presence of her enemies. What was the presence of her enemy? Death. She didn't sing the song. But she raised a hallelujah in saying, okay, I'll get you some water. I'll get you some bread. She raised a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Because how do you believe a man that comes to you, you've never seen him before, dressed scruffy like he was dressed. He's been out in the wilderness, a prophet. And he says, don't be afraid. So you're going to have to sing louder than the unbelief, ladies and gentlemen. Right? Your weapon is a melody. What melody is going off in your heart? Is it, God, I know you can do this. God, I believe that you can do this. Because heaven came to fight for her. Right? Heaven comes to fight for you and I. She sang in the middle of the storm. That was her faith offering. Are we going to sing in the middle of our storm? Louder and louder. Oh man, do I turn this up in my car. Louder and louder. Devil, you are going to hear my praises roar. Heaven, I'm going to compete with that angelic choir. You're going to hear my praises roar. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for women in your word, men in your word that are just willing to step out in faith. God, I ask this morning there will be a sprinkling of faith over the congregation this morning, and whatever we need to do in the area of giving, tithes, offerings, in the area of just giving of ourselves, in the area of doing what you said we should do. God, we really, really want to raise a hallelujah. We love the song, we love the beat, but in the face of whatever enemy we as a church or personal people are facing, we sing a hallelujah. We sing a hallelujah over Brian Jr. Evans this morning. We raise a hallelujah over doubt and unbelief that may have crept into his life. You didn't do this to him. But all you need to see in him is just a glimmer of faith. And people are going to come to him and pull that faith out. And so, Father, we pray that we will be the same way, Lord God, that this morning your spirit of faith is hovering over us, telling us that when we feel like we've got nothing, we can sing a little louder in the face of enemies, in the face of mysteries, in the face of unbelief. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Just as we sing this song, if you would get your tithes and offerings ready, then you can bring them. I'm just going to ask you to bring them forward and just put them in the buckets here. You can either stay at the front or you can go back to your seat. Look at that. You see what's in here? A tenth. A tithe. A dime. A dime. And you get to keep 90%.